Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So, you know, I love magic or what I perceive to be magic.
Did you guys watch 60 Minutes last night?
It was insane. They interviewed the mentalist Oz Perlman. Stephanie Ramos, didn't she used to work here in town?
She did. She was over at Channel 9.
Channel 9, yeah. So she is now on 60 Minutes.
Oh.
And she was interviewing this mentalist, Oz Perlman, who can, according to him...
Read minds.
Read your mind.
I love the mentalist game.
Dan, the clips that... Because I went down a deep rabbit hole on this guy. He will look at you and say, I want you to think right now of an NBA player, any NBA player. And then he goes, okay, keep it to yourself. And then he will write it down, and as you say it, he turns the board around, and it's that player.
You're thinking of Charles Barkley.
It is the craziest thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
I was thinking of Manute Bol.
Okay.
But, like, there are clips after clips after... Do you have the 60 Minutes, like, trailer thing?
I have him... Now, wait. He says to Stephanie Ramos at one point, name a country. I believe he says, name a country you want to go to. Memory escapes me, but it's queued up. She's interviewing him. He's got his little whiteboard in front of him, right? And we've already gone, this is at the tail end of the segment last night on 60 Minutes, where he has wowed people left and right.
Yes.
By being able to read their minds. And finally, she's like, read mine.
But wait, before you click it, Dan, instead of asking her to think up of something, he says, ask me to ask you a question that I could possibly not, there's no way I could know the answer. So he had her formulate the question as well.
So here it is. Listen.
I mean, there's got to be something really gratifying for you to be able to get a 300-pound grown man to freak out on camera.
I love it. It's this feeling of wonder that you not only do you not know how it's done, but it's the feeling it gives you, right? It's like certain movies give me goosebumps, and you don't get that often.
I think the number one factor in success...
Oh says he makes most of his money from private corporate events. His next public move is to offer up lessons with a new take on the classic self-help book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, offering advice on how to use mentalism in everyday life.
My book is not about teaching you to be a mentalist, because there's books about that. And so I want to teach people not to be a mentalist, but how to think like a mentalist.
We'd studied O's and his tricks and were skeptical he'd be able to pull one over on us. Then, at the end of our interview, he asked me to name a place I've always wanted to go but have never been.
Tell us the place. Tell us the place you thought of. What were you said? I want to go there. I can't wait to say it. What
Vietnam.
Was it? Vietnam? And you were about to say somewhere different. That was the key. You were about to change your mind. Say the other place you were thinking of.
Thailand.
Thailand was the other one you were going to go with.
Come on!
He literally flipped around the whiteboard. It Thailand said, and Vietnam
And one of them was crossed out.
Vietnam was crossed out.
Sounds like a pretty cool party trick.
So he says, Dan, at the end to Stephanie Ramos... He says, come up with a question for me to ask you that I could not possibly know the answer. And she says, okay, third grade teacher.
Or a place I've never been that I want to go to.
Yeah, third grade teacher. And he goes, okay, I've got the name. But he goes, wait a minute, were you going to lie?
Oh, that's right.
She goes, yes. He goes, you were going to lie and give me a different teacher. And he turns the board around. He goes, what was her name? Say it out loud. And she goes, Sister Flanagan.
That's right.
The board says Sister Flanagan, Dan. How? How does he do it?
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me see if I can find the Flanagan thing.
It is the craziest thing.
I fell off the couch when he did that.
One of the things he says in his corporate stuff, and I'm sure it's $100,000 to have him fly in or more to talk to your corporation, was that when he's asking a bunch of men, okay, I want you to think, who did you have a poster of on your wall when you were, you know, growing up in elementary school? And the guy is thinking, and he's standing like this, Dan. He's standing with his legs apart, shoulder width apart, this guy. Uh-huh. And he's got his hands clasped below his belt, just like this. And the mentalist says to him, well, it's a woman. And let me tell you how I know that. That is a very common tell. When men are thinking about a woman, they always put their hands over below their belt.
Over their crotch.
If you're thinking about a male, you most often put your hands in your pocket. He said there are these little tells that we all do.
Yeah.
So at least he knew it was a woman on his wall. And I don't know how he figured out the rest of it because it wasn't Farrah Fawcett. He said, is there six letters in the name? And the guy goes,
Wait, that's Russell Wilson. I've got it queued up to that right now.
Oh, it is crazy.
Hang on. Here is the Russell Wilson. Of course, you know him as the quarterback. Here it is.
$72 million at one dinner with athletes like NFL quarterback Russell Wilson in attendance.
Question for you is, when I was young, I had a poster on my wall of someone, and you're no way in hell you're going to get this.
He said no way in hell. I didn't say those words. He said those words.
No way.
Which means there's no way it was a football player. Also, notice the nervous twitching with the hands.
Okay, so that was Russell Wilson who said there's no way in hell you will get the answer to the person who was on a poster on my wall when I was a kid.
Hands here, always a female. Is it a female? Yeah, it is.
Oz Perlman went to work on him.
I don't read minds, I read people. Here's what I want you to do. Russell, count the number of letters in the first name just to yourself. Not out loud, just to yourself. There's the tell, right? You call an audible. He finished counting and he looked up. Six letters, isn't it?
It is six letters.
Yeah. Russell, you're sitting there, sixth grade, you're looking up. She's looking back at you.
She was.
Tell us all, who was in that poster? Say it.
Shania Twain.
Shania Twain!
He turns the whiteboard around and reads
Shania Twain.
Shania Twain.
You'd think a room.
So wait, Dan, we start talking about this last night. We watched it. I went down this deep dive. I started watching other videos of him doing this. I said to Johnny, okay, let's say there's six letters in the name and he can look at your eyes and tell you're going S-H-A-I. Okay, he can look 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's doing six letters. Mm-hmm. How many hundreds of different women were popular when Russell was in
Russell Wilson
middle school?
What are the odds?
How many of those women also would have had six letters in their name? I mean, if it was someone your age, Dan or Scott, obviously Farrah Fawcett was the popular poster. Mm-hmm. That's too easy. Shania Twain is an anomaly. Mm-hmm. That is, I mean, yes, she was popular.
But you had Elle McPherson.
She would not have been the go-to. You would have had Cindy Crawford. See,
not in the 90s.
Okay, that's five letters. How many people in the 90s that were women that were famous had six letters in their name? There's no way he could have.
He's really good at reading people. Oh. And he's, yeah, he, like he says, he's not reading somebody's mind exactly. He's reading them.
But how did he get Sister Flanagan, Dan?
That one was weird.
No one knows who Sister Flanagan is. Everyone knows who Shania Twain is. You didn't know. And he not only had Sister Flanagan, he had the third grade teacher she first thought about, Miss Ross or whatever. How?
Yeah. And FYI, Stephanie Ramos is still with ABC News.
Yeah.
The correspondent on 60 Minutes last night was Cecilia Vega.
She does. They have a similar look. And Dan, that's funny. Yeah. Scott asked, because when I saw her, I thought, is that Stephanie Ramos? Did she jump ship? No, she's still at ABC.
Did I misspeak?
How?
That's all right.
Dan, how? How does he do it?
I don't know.
Hey, I found Sister Flannery.
I mean, how did people bend spoons back in the 70s?
Because spoons
They
bent.
Were made out of aluminum. I don't know, but
this
listen to this.
Different.
Listen to this.
Of the classroom door.
This is not written down. This is not posted. This is nowhere but in your brain.
All right, wait, let me rewind
Come up with a little bit more. A question impossible for him to know the answer.
Ask me the question.
Who was my third grade teacher who had a paddle above the classroom door?
This is not written down. This is not posted. This is nowhere but in your brain, this question.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Zero.
Right.
You know what? You're not going to tell the truth. You're going to lie.
I'm not going to lie.
No, no. I want you to. I want you
okay,
to.
Okay, okay. You want me to
I
lie.
Want you to Got do it? A lie instead. Do the lie instead of the truth.
I did. I thought of my high school teacher rather than my third grade teacher to try to stump him.
Say it. What is it?
Flannery.
Sister Flannery.
Okay, now you're freaking
he
me turn, out.
He turns the whiteboard around and says, Sister Flannery.
Now, you could say, Dan, well, if there was a paddle above the door, that would suggest probably Catholic school.
Not if you grew up in Texas.
But not if you grew up in Texas and my principal had a paddle.
Or
okay.
Missouri.
So you've narrowed it down to the name Sister. Pick, he just picked Flannery?
Could have been O'Flanagan.
It could have been O'Hare. 10 million different names.
Well, obviously, he's rather special when it comes to all of this. He does use a little bit of trickery, a little bit of what we might call magic. And plus, he really is good at reading people and then leading them through the prompts to get them where he wants them to be.
But he didn't say, tell me the name of your Catholic, you know, nun in high school that starts with an F, and then that would narrow it down probably to Flannery.
From the text line, burn the witch.
I'm telling you, you said you fell off the couch. I was oh my God. There's one that he does.
If he sinks, he's innocent.
There's one he does with the four or five guys on the NFL commentary guys. Mm-hmm. How?
Next time you go to Vegas, look it up. There is a mentalist who has a residency in Vegas. And if you get there early and you can sit in the front row, you will be part of the show.
913-586-7798.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here from the Topeka Capital Journal.
One of the most ridiculous search and seizure cases I have ever heard.
Tim Carpenter, who is a brilliant journalist, is the author of this story. The Jackson County traffic stop at 3:30 in the morning on August 25th, 2021, prompting arrest of passenger Deshara Yargan Charles, was an unlikely route to a divided decision by the Kansas Supreme Court on constitutional interpretation of reasonable search and seizure. Yargan Charles, who engaged in rather peculiar conduct at the scene along U.S. 75 Highway, sought a place in the Supreme Court's docket to suppress evidence and reverse her district court convictions for possession of methamphetamine, marijuana, drug paraphernalia, interference with law enforcement, and transportation of an open liquor container.
I'm going to stop you right there, Scott, and bring our audience up to speed. She did have those things in her car. Make no mistake.
She was the passenger.
There was an open container, And after they searched the car, they found drugs and drug paraphernalia. The case centers on whether or not it was a legal stop in the very beginning, because the reason they stopped her had nothing to do with the alcohol or the drugs they ended up finding in the car. The reason they stopped her was because her license plate was slightly askew.
It sagged to the right.
It sagged about, what would you say, Scott? Half an inch?
Half an inch.
To the right.
Mm-hmm.
It was a divided decision, but the Supreme Court majority that considered her appeal rejected her constitutional claims. They did take the opportunity to further define boundaries of roadside behavior by Kansas law enforcement agencies. And I believe what they found was ridiculous. Kansas law says your license plate has to be securely fastened to the vehicle. It has to be positioned at least 12 inches from the ground. It has to be clearly visible and legible. The court ruled that the sergeant and his partner made a constitutional stop after observing her plate, quote, sagged to the right.
So let me paint the picture here. The license plate, this Kansas license plate, has four holes, two on the top,
yep,
two on the bottom, where you can insert a bolt and affix it to that one specific spot on the trunk door,
yeah,
of your car.
Like any typical license plate.
Yes.
Right, right. Thank you, Sam. This license plate only has one bolt.
Mm. Top left.
In the upper left.
Top left.
I return to the subsection. I don't know what subsection this is, where must be securely fastened and prevent swinging.
There is no indication that the license plate, which would be of strong aluminum, I believe, was swinging. We don't know that.
Well, one of the officers in testimony said it was flapping in the wind. Look, did they end up arresting?
Read that. We wanted to have a chat at 3:30 in the morning.
Did they end up arresting her for actual solid reasons because she had an open container and drugs in the car? Absolutely.
And keep in mind, she was not the driver.
No.
She was the passenger.
But you want to talk about the thinnest excuse to pull somebody over. I don't know that you could find one thinner than the license plate was slightly askew.
Window tinting?
Maybe, Sam.
That one's
especially
good.
If it's 3:30 in the morning. How do you know you can't see through the windows? You can't see me anyway.
They had to consider each word of Kansas law in this case, Scott, because the case hinged on whether the tag on the Honda was flapping or swinging.
Really, the case hinged?
Yes, it did, Sam, in terms of what state law banned. They argued that the state law articulates what Sam just said. It has to be securely fastened.
It does not say flapping in the state law. It says swinging.
Come on, you guys.
So maybe she has a case.
Let's call this what this is. It was 3:30 in the morning in Topeka.
Just call it what it is.
And they wanted to have a chat.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you pull out of the Westport Bar District, state line's not too far away, right? Mm-hmm. At 2:30 in the morning.
Correct.
You better believe all your lights are on.
Yep.
You're turning your blinker on 100 feet before each turn.
10 and 2, baby.
Got your seatbelt on.
9 and 3 nowadays.
You better not cut somebody off because you're getting pulled over immediately. These are things that happen. Where is the surprise here?
Now, the Supreme Court did recently adhere to strict reading of state law to decide another case, Beck versus State, which involved determining whether the obstruction of the state name on the Kansas license plate justified a traffic stop. The Supreme Court said no.
No.
It was not a legal stop because the officers pulled someone over and said, I couldn't really see the state name on your license plate. The Supreme Court said that's overreach. So
I agree with
if the state on your license plate isn't legible for whatever reason, they can't pull you over. But if your bolt is sagging and askew because of the way you put that license plate on there, they can pull you over.
Well, you notice nowhere in the argument does the Kansas Highway Patrol say that the license plate was not secure. You can secure a license plate with one bolt. The question becomes, was it flapping? Now, they could say, we thought it was flapping. I thought I saw some flappy flappy. And we decided to take a further look. Now, you're not going to get a lot of people who are going to be sympathetic to the two people in this car.
But that's not the point.
I understand you were going to say that. Because there was an open container of beer,
yep,
or liquor.
It was peach vodka, Scott.
Okay, liquor.
And a joint.
There was marijuana, and there was methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. They're out at 3:30 in the morning, hooping it up, doing stupid stuff. You're not going to find a lot of people who are sympathetic to them.
Well, if I may, the woman in question also dropped to the ground while they were searching the car and claimed she was about to give birth. As medical staff arrived, she was observed, quote, screaming, farting, and trying to force herself to throw up. They took her to the hospital. She was not pregnant. So look.
Okay.
Bizarre behavior, yes.
Wow.
Illegal contraband in the car, absolutely. But give me a break on the askew license plate that's to pull somebody over.
I don't disagree with you on that, Dana. Here's the deal. Cops got behind her. They knew these guys were up to no good.
Yes.
What are we going to find?
Just call it what it is.
Damn it. Break a law already.
Well, from the text line, it's a gateway stop, as you're mentioning. They're trying to see if something else is going on in the car. And I've always heard that if police come to your door for whatever reason, maybe you're not in trouble. Maybe they don't think there's some crime going on. But you swing that door open and there's a kilo of methamphetamine sitting on your, you know,
in plain sight.
They're still going to convict you for having a kilo of methamphetamine, even though they were there to, I don't know, knock on the door and say hi. Does that also exist with vehicles? Meaning if they pull you over for some benign reason, maybe it's not legitimate. But when they pull up to the window, they see, oh my gosh, she's got a fifth of peach schnapps sitting there.
I don't know if you remember this, Dana. I think, Sam, this was before you ever joined the show. But we had a cop call in one time and said, if we need to find probable cause, we can find it. If you wave at me when we're passing on a road, I can interpret that as you need assistance. Do you remember that call?
Yes. Hi.
I'm
sorry. Did you need something?
Thanks,
no.
Thanks for your service.
Put your hands behind your back.
And I can interpret your wave as I need assistance. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Come and get me.
Now, that clip I just played is not in relation to this case in any way, shape, or form, but it was a real case, not a skit, I believe, out of Florida. Because a couple of guys in a pickup truck decided they wanted to give the one finger howdy to a couple of police officers who were driving by.
Police don't like that.
Which I would argue is actually perfectly legal and not reason to be pulled over.
Frowned upon.
That cruiser slammed on its brakes, popped a U-turn, pulled that guy over and said, improper hand signal, I'm going to need to see your license and registration.
Okay, I mean, these were, God love the police, and we've been accused of being too pro-police over the years. On this show, they were looking, the people in the truck were looking for trouble, okay? And the police gave it to them. And I don't think that the police pulling them over was legal.
Yeah, I don't remember the resolve of that case, but it's still hilarious.
Let's go to Mike in Topeka. Mike, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So I have a truck just like Sam's, but I have an aftermarket plate steel bumper that's designed for off-roading. So it's a high-clearance bumper, you know, so you can get into the tight spots and stuff. Well, because of that, the stock location for the trailer hitch is moved to inside the bumper directly behind the license plate. So as I'm actively towing a trailer, my license plate is on a hinge with a little spring loader on it that I fold down so that I can hitch up my trailer. So now I'm worried I'm going to get pulled over on the way home.
Well, but they wouldn't know that your license plate was up on a hinge if you're pulling something behind it.
Yeah. And to be fair, in Kansas law, if you have a smaller trailer, you're not required to have a license plate on the trailer itself. But if you have a bigger trailer, then it is required to have a license plate, and so there would be one back there. But from behind, you can't see my license plate at all because it's folded down.
Mm. All right, be careful.
Okay, lawbreaker.
Law.
Jason in Kansas City, ne'er-do-well.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you, Jason.
As far as the actual law,
that's stated in both states of Missouri and Kansas, it is illegal for that plate not to be secured correctly, even if it is flapping. I know it's cheesy and all that. The excuse behind that was if it's not secured, it could fall off, become a projectile and hit a car behind you and stuff like that. That's what the agenda was behind the actual law. Do you guys see the paper plates flopping around?
Oh, yeah.
The fake ones and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same principle, but that's the thought process behind it. But it is illegal if it's skewed. If it's not secured, then it is a car stop.
Get your level out, people.
But can you not secure a license plate with one bolt?
Sure, and make it even. If it's loose and flopping, then it's not secured correctly. I'm telling you how cheesy this law is, or this reason for a car stop.
I get it, but what if the license plate is not flipping a flopping, but it is a skewed because it's only affixed by one bolt? Would that be reason enough for a pullover?
For a car stop, it would have to be moving. Yes.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah, if it's it had to be secured tightly to the vehicle. And if it's not, they probably pulled them over because they thought it was loose. That's the excuse that they would use.
And keep in mind, it was 3:30 in the morning in Topeka.
Correct. And is that an excuse to pull somebody over? Legally, yes, but cheesy, yes. But when you do a car stop and you walk up to the car and see an open container, that is also,
yes,
you know, that's a reason to do the search. So.
I agree. Super frowned upon to do that and super illegal to do that.
John in Independence. John, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how are we doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, Missouri says they're a two-tag state, but if you got an 18,000-pound tag, like on your Julie pickup truck, they only issue you one.
That is correct.
And I've been pulled over numerous times in Independence and the surrounding area for not having a rear tag. I got just a vanity tag on the back, and you tell, you know, it's usually a young officer, and they say, well, you have two tags. I said, no. Check your rules, because 18,000 pound over, they only give you one, and it goes on the front, because they figure a truck that size usually pulling a trailer or a load.
But why not just give you the second one? We had a gal who worked here. She left not too long ago. Her name was Cheyenne. And young gal, beautiful, and she used to do barrel, she didn't used to, she still does, barrel racing. And she drove this big old pickup truck.
Yeah.
And one day I came into work, and she was getting out of her truck with lunch or whatever, and I said, hey, Cheyenne, you don't have a license plate on the back of your truck. And she goes, I don't have to. I have one on the front. And I said, I don't get it. She goes, state of Missouri rules are, I'm probably using this truck to pull something else. Why bother giving me the license plate?
Yeah, they only give you one, but they charge, it's like $160 for a two-year tag.
Oh, man.
All right, man. Hey, appreciate the call. All right, be well. Gene in Excelsior Springs, you get the last word. Gene, hello.
Gene or Dean. Hey, guys.
Oh, Dean. Sorry, buddy.
No sweat. Hey, so I was living in Colorado at the time, but I was back visiting my mom in Lawrence, and I was heading west along 70, and this cop pulls me over. I had the Colorado plates, and he pulled me over. This has been about, I'd say, 10 years, maybe 8 years. And he's like, well, your license frame covers up the word Colorado on the plate. I'm like, oh, well, those green mountains on that plate should give it away what it is. He goes, yeah, but we got to be able to rate the state. So I just walked back there, and I grabbed it, and I just tore the frame off. I said, how about that? And he goes, you don't have any marijuana in the car, do you?
That was the real reason.
Nobody would be taking marijuana back to Colorado.
Wrong way.
And then he let me, yeah, he's like, well, okay, and he let me go, but there it is.
Dean, thanks for the call. I've got a story that is going to wow you with technology, because we're all so obsessed with like serial killers. Technology that I did not know existed until this weekend. And I saw the post from 48 Hours. And at first you're like, okay, is this clickbait? 48 Hours posts.
Is this a show, 48 Hours?
Yep. They post a photo of a real human being on the left, and then a composite sketch on the right. And you can tell it's an AI-generated composite sketch. Mm-hmm. And you will admit, Scott, that man looks similar to the sketch. It's close.
They look similar. A little bit of a problem with the eyes and the bottom of the nose, but yes.
Yes, very close. This is the post. 30 years after Robin Lawrence was murdered, investigators say an old yearbook photo bears a striking resemblance to a facial model based on predictions from the DNA of the man police suspect killed her. So this is the man they think did it on the left. And then on the right, you see the composite and it is similar. So I start looking into this. There is a company, and it is somewhat controversial, that will take unknown DNA and plug it into a computer, and the computer will spit out what it thinks the DNA looks like. Who do you look like?
Just based on my DNA?
Just based on your DNA. So for all of you listening that have done the 23andMe, they can tell you some weird things in Ancestry.com and 23andMe, like the shape of your toes, which one's bigger and which one's smaller based on your DNA, right? They can tell you whether or not you like asparagus. They can tell you based on your DNA, what your ears, are they attached right here or is there a space? They can tell you all kinds of weird things about your DNA.
Okay.
There is now a company that claims they can take your DNA and spit out an image of what you most likely look like. But it is very controversial for all the reasons you can imagine. You are, Scott, half your mom and half your dad, as are we all.
I think so, yes.
But for those of you who have siblings, think about it. There are siblings that would have 50%, you know, they would be your 50% match sibling. And you have siblings that look more like your mom. And some of us have siblings that look more like our dad.
Wait, you think so?
Well, they just is, Sam.
I hope so.
So how can a company say that they're going to look at your DNA and give you a best guess on what you look like if you've committed a crime?
Well, and what if they're way off? Like, I don't know.
Do you look
the wrong race?
Do you look? No.
No, that would be in your DNA.
That would be in your DNA. Do you look more like your mom or more like your dad?
It depends on which one I'm standing next to.
Bingo. we all have features that.
You don't look like either one of your parents.
Every once in a while, I took a photo the other day, and I look exactly like my dad.
Got those Craig eyes.
Pictures of the suspect in this case that we're talking about from 1988 and 1998 were found and compared to the digital composite image created by this company. It's called Parabon Nanolabs. Parabon Nanolabs. And they specialize in something called DNA phenotyping and genetic genealogy analysis, processes that predict physical appearance and biological relationships from unidentified DNA evidence.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Park.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
From the USA Today, 7 of the 10 Most expensive zip codes in the United States sit in California, which probably comes as no surprise to many Californians. But the nation's priciest zip code is in 33109. It is not in New York State. It is not in California. 33109 is the priciest zip code in America.
Is it New England?
It is on Fisher Island, not in New England.
Miami?
Miami Beach.
I knew it. I took the tour. I did it, you guys. I took the tour.
The Billionaire Row tour?
No, it's on a boat. Called. You get on a boat and they parade you around this. It's on an island. You can only get in, obviously.
Probably Fisher Island.
From private jet or boat. And they take you all around and then they point out, okay, this is Mark Anthony's house. This is LeBron James' house. This is Will Smith's house. This is Jennifer Lopez's house. These houses have houses. That's how big these are. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. When we were flying into Turks and Caicos in, what year would that have been? 2018, I think. The pilot, who was really good, was like, if you look out the right window, you will see Prince's old estate.
Oh.
And it was its own island.
Yeah.
And then just to the north of that is Justin Bieber's house. By the way, Justin Bieber was in Turks and Caicos when we were there, staying at his...
He stayed in probably nicer digs than you did.
He did.
Right.
He did.
He stayed at his mansion on his own island.
Yeah.
Now, what's wild, Scott, is if you look at the list of the top 10, all three of them are in the same city in California. They're side by side by side, and they're on a peninsula.
That is correct. I see where you're going here, Sam.
And I've been there many, many times. Mm-hmm. It is an incredible place. And yeah, the home's like a one-room studio shack is like $10 million.
The place Sam is referring to is Newport Beach, California, which its zip codes come in 10th, 8th, and 4th. And then we have Miami at number one, mm-hmm. Miami Beach, Florida, 33109. And everything else is in either California, most of them in California, two are in New York.
But I saw a listing one time. I was in Newport, and we went paddleboarding. It was a lot of fun. But I saw a listing, and I pulled it up. And, yeah, it was a studio apartment, and I think it was like $7 million. No ocean view. It was a studio apartment in the middle of a neighborhood.
In Newport Beach.
You know, you were like four blocks from the beach, which is great. But you want how many millions of dollars for 400 square feet?
Watermill, New York comes in fifth. That's the 11976er. Mm-hmm. That's in the Hamptons.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Sagaponack, New York. That's number three.
The Sagaponack.
That's the 11962. That is in the Southamptons.
Of course.
Atherton, California is number two. Santa Barbara, California is number six. And Stinson Beach, California is number seven.
Yeah.
I have a fun little show update for you guys when we get back. You know Wirecutter, which is this like subsection of the New York Times, and they try things. It's sort of the highbrow try it before you buy it. They do what is the best cell phone? What is the best? And they really do have an entire staff that does this. Over the weekend, they tested 25 mayonnaises. Mayonnaise eye, if you will.
Was Duke's mayonnaise number one?
I will tell you, I clicked on it because I thought, are we going to get to see some Duke's mayonnaise
on yellow,
it?
It's got a yellow lid.
Some twang. I will tell you where Duke's mayonnaise landed on that list when we get back.
News coming up in 2 minutes with Dan Weinbaum here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.